Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's easy to fight. It's hard to suffer. It's easy to fight. It's hard to flee. Now, without further explanation, this phrase, these words, could seem a little bit off. At first glance, anyone can see that it's not hard to flee. Cowards do it all the time. We flee confrontation, we flee conversation, we flee complication. Fleeing is anything but hard. Countless men chase sexual pleasure and then flee the responsibility of fatherhood without so much as a second thought. And now we have a phrase, baby daddy. It used to be called husband, father. Many women who get pregnant today flee the responsibility of motherhood by way of abortion, and we fight for that in this country as a human right or as health care, something that was completely foreign only a few generations ago. Name a vocation, any vocation, and we can see how easily people flee the duties of that vocation, not just fatherhood and motherhood, but I bring that up because of the slaughter of the innocents and Herod's killing of the children, right? Any vocation, and you can see how easily it is for us to flee those responsibilities. We all do it. It's because we're sinners. We watch movies to flee, play games, read books, and listen to music as well to avoid life's circumstances. It's escapism, right? We want to flee whatever's going on in life, even if only temporarily and even if for good reasons, just because you enjoy reading a book, right? This is fleeing. Drugs and alcohol are abused for the same reason. To avoid life's circumstances. We flee into our hobbies, we flee into our interests, we flee into our work. We go for a walk to cool down or simply ignore a certain text or phone call because it's easy to flee. Uncomfortable situations are always to be avoided by us. Not engaging is fleeing. Every lie you tell, even the littlest, to cover up the truth is you fleeing the music rather than facing it. So it's certainly not hard to flee. The same goes for suffering. It's not hard to suffer. You all know that. We suffer all the time. Count the ways that we suffer. We suffer from illness and injury. Our relationships are strained and we suffer. Financial hardships bring suffering. We suffer emotional pain, heartache, depression, anxiety, loneliness, doubt, abuse, embarrassment, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on. Suffering comes easily and often. When it comes to fighting, suffering, and fleeing, the hard one, if there is a hard one, is the fighting. See, it's hard for the little guy to fight the system that causes suffering, isn't it? If only we could get more active, more organized, more intentional about how to fight back and fix our systemic problems. Oh, it's easy to think this way, isn't it? It was easy, too easy, for the 2020 rioters to fight against the police, to fight against any neighbor not on their side. Too easy. It's easy to fight with one another, to fight with family members. We just came through the holidays, I'm sure. That's been a part of somebody's life out there. Friends, coworkers, peers, and anybody else. It's easy for progressives and conservatives to fight. More and more people are now tossing around the idea of a future, very near future civil war in this country because we're so polarized. The talking heads are now talking about that because it's so easy to fight. It's easy to want to fight, to be encouraged to fight. How easily are we convinced that we've been wronged and that we're justified to fight back? In this way, it's easy to fight. It's easy to get the fight into our hearts because it's already there. It just needs to be awakened, and it awakens quite easily. But a heart filled with this earthly fight has little room for Christ. I'm speaking in terms of sin and righteousness when I say it's easy to fight, it's hard to suffer. It's easy to fight, it's hard to flee. In sin, it's easy to fight. It's hard to suffer for righteousness' sake. When sin guides your heart, it's easy to fight. It's hard to flee for Jesus' sake. It's easy to fight against one another. It's hard to suffer as a disciple of Christ. It's easy to fight against God's word and what Scripture says rather than submit to it. It's hard to obey the Lord and flee when you're persecuted for living out the Christian faith. What we want to do is fight back. It's our native tongue. It's how we're predisposed in sin. That's our initial response. And so, that's a long intro, right? What's this have to do with anything we read about? And so, the Lord has preserved for us, for our benefit, the history of his son when his earthly guardian and protector, Joseph, was told to flee to Egypt with Jesus and his mother. What a counter-cultural text this is. I love it. We would much rather have that text from the gospel this morning say, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to gather a ragtag battalion of shepherds and farmers who are going to fight against the man. Gather all those fathers of the children, the boys who are 2 years old and younger. Gather all those guys around and let's go to war. We'd much rather hear that Joseph led a resistance fighting back against Herod's tyranny, defending the little town of Bethlehem. Wouldn't that make a great Christmas carol? And saving the lives of the innocent children, Jesus among them. But that's not what happened. This isn't one of those stories. This isn't a man-made story with the expected tropes. In many ways, it would have been easier for Joseph to fight. He was a good and honorable man. He did not divorce Mary. He wanted to put her away quietly if he was going to do that. He didn't even want to do it and shame her. He had honor. God appointed him to be Jesus' guardian and protector, Mary's as well. So from these facts, fleeing doesn't seem to be what Joseph was all about. He was no coward. I would expect Joseph to stand and protect, not to run away. It would have been easy for the fathers of the slaughtered children to pound their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears, chanting the prophet Joel as they fought back against the evil ruler, justified by Scripture even. But they didn't do that. They did the hard thing. These parents suffered the murder of their children. Joseph didn't stand and fight. He fled. Because that's what God said to do. God is countercultural. If you have an ego, you're probably wrestling with this concept of fleeing rather than fighting. Suffering rather than staving it off, keeping it at bay. It goes against the disposition of our fallen nature. Especially males. Fallen nature. The Christians are not, in general, a people of the sword. We're not an earthly kingdom or a religion like Islam that was founded on conquest and war. That's not us. We are the people of the cross, founded on martyrdom, death, the faithful witness. Our necks under the sword. We suffer the pain of persecution. We suffer and do not fight back. That is where the Christian church's strength lies. That is where the Christian's strength lies, in our willing weakness. The word for that is meekness. We could fight back. We might have the strength to fight back, to stand up for what is right. But we don't. And in that act of willing weakness is our fight back. Martyrdom, a good witness, in submitting willingly out of love like Jesus did when he let the powers and the authorities crucify him. He, of all people, could have fought back. And he could have won easily. Peter was there with his sword drawn, ready to do it. And he told him, put your sword back. Very interesting little detail. Peter had a sword. And Jesus didn't say, throw it away. He said, put it back. Not now, not for this situation. Instead, he chose to flee man's ways and to suffer. Jesus chose the hard way. And in doing so, he won the war against wickedness, ending it all. So crucify your egos, my friends. Crucify that fight in your heart. Repent of that fight that's there. Repent of fighting God. Repent of not listening to the Lord's word and obeying it. Repent of listening to man over Christ and trying to avoid suffering. Avoiding suffering is not the best idea. It is actually contrary to Scripture. Suffering is not a hindrance to your life, but a valuable tool aiding you in your Christian walk. I've been looking for this quote forever. I read it. I mean, those of you who know me know I underline everything I read that, like, really I want to come back to. I even put little tabs on it so I can find it. I've been looking through my library. Luther is known for saying, I read this somewhere, I haven't been able to find it, that when you are experiencing suffering, and you're like, your disposition is to say, oh, why am I suffering? God, why are you letting this happen? He says, that's when the Lord, your Father, is disciplining you nicely, greatly, bringing you closer to him. And then what Luther says, he goes on to say that the greatest Christians of all time suffered the most. These people that we think, oh, I'm being isolated, I'm suffering, I'm dying, I'm experiencing this. Luther says, don't think of that as woe is me. Think of that as I'm standing with the greats. I'm with Peter. I'm with Paul. I'm with the people who laid down their lives for this. Suffering is not to be avoided. Suffering, as Paul says, is a chance for us to rejoice that we get to experience part of the cross with our Lord. Co-sufferers with Christ. So repent of idolizing safety, security, comfort, and peace. All these things are great, but we've turned them into gods. Repent of all that goes into maintaining your creature comforts or your status quo. Repent and prepare your hearts to receive the gift, and it is a gift of suffering. Americans don't know how to do that very well. We are a soft people in this way. A disciple, the Lord says, is not above his teacher, not a servant. A servant is not above his master. Christ suffered, and he tells us we should expect the same. Christians suffer. Christ fled. Christians flee. Repent of the fight in your heart. Save that for protecting your neighbor. Save that for the vocation that is, and using it in that proper vocation. If a father, protector, and guardian, right? Joseph could guard and protect, and he did so in different ways. Soldiers, police officers, all these different realms, the sword is useful and we praise it and we are glad for it. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to you as a Christian trying to get your way and trying to fight back, repent of that. Crucify your ego. Be the humble servant. Stop battling with the Bible over what you think it should say, and let it say what it says. Crucify your ego. Stop combating the commandments and trying to do theological gymnastics to get them to allow you to live the way you want to live rather than the way Christ says to live. Stop warring against the creed that you confess with your lips but are not living in your heart. Surrender to God's will. and flee the danger of your worldly ways. Humble yourselves and suffer as your Lord suffered. I told you this is countercultural. It just doesn't feel right. It's abrasive to everything we've been taught as Americans. Be the Christian that you say you are. As St. Peter wrote, and this is exactly what we're hearing today, he wrote to the congregations, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." That is to say, if we want to rejoice when he returns in glory, when we are conquering, when we are kings set above the world, if we want to rejoice in heaven, let us begin that right now in our suffering, being like Christ, humble. "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed," he says. Bring on the name calling. Call us whatever you want. If it's for the name of Christ, I will rejoice, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." So we don't suffer because of our sinfulness. We're not suffering as cowards. No. We're suffering for Christ's sake, for righteousness' sake. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." It's easy for sinners to fight. It's hard for us to embrace suffering. It's easy for sinners to fight against each other and God's word. It's hard for us to obey the will of the Lord and to flee sin. Christ suffered for you. Christ fled from sin for you, though. He wanted to bear the burden of the law for you. He wanted to be crucified on the cross in your place. He wanted to be rejected by his people for you. He wanted to flee the temptations of sin for you. He even fled the desire to grasp equality with God while in his humility for you, so that you would be rescued by his human sinfulness. Sinlessness, excuse me, that's a big typo. And you have been. In baptism, you've been saved from your unwillingness to suffer the cross, and from your unwillingness to listen to the word of God and to flee sin. So in your baptism, Christ has given you all of that. All the things that we can't do. For our fight in our hearts, we've been baptized. So that our Father would look down upon us and see Jesus and not me, not you. He would see Jesus suffering on the cross and not your fight in your heart. He would see Jesus fleeing into Egypt with Joseph and his mother. And he would attribute that to you. Fleeing sin for you. Fleeing the danger of sin for you. His cross is for you. His resurrection is for you. In communion with Jesus this morning, you will find that it is easy to suffer. His suffering body is given to you, and you receive it and take it into your body. It is easy to flee sin because he has already done it for you. You have nothing to do yourself. At the Lord's table, we receive in faith the fruit of what he has done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering for us and for not being the hero of our own making, not being a glorified fighter, but a true hero, humble and weak, who in fleeing lived to die for our sake. Amen.